serving up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this.
Sometimes coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I played My House three times yesterday.
It's catchy.
So it's catchy. It's growing on me. So it's and the front runner now, but we're still have, what, six songs to contemplate
today.
I don't
want to nominate anymore. I don't care. I'm in. You're in. I feel like Gibbs is in.
I'm in.
The kid is in.
I'm in.
No, your Sanford son's going to be a bump back. So what we're going to do, Gibbs, what we got to do is email Gibbs over the weekend all of our nomination songs, and those will be our bump back songs. So we'll have
Gibbs already has all of mine.
All right, so I got to email you mine, Gibbs.
I do, and I've got Wilhelm's. Actually, don't even email me. Text me, because as soon as the show's over, all new music is going in the system today to start Monday. And we have a new voice guy. We
boom
have
shakalaka.
I just want to make you guys aware, too, and this is prior to my birthday night when the kid and, you know, we're all in like that group message going back and forth and kids texting me. So when kid texts me or calls me, this is what shows up.
Yes. Yes.
And it is a picture of Sanford, like a Sanford and Son theme song with, you know, it literally says Sanford. So when he texts me now, that
that's
pops
what you
up.
Get.
Yeah, I don't want to share what yours is.
Why,
it's
I won't
not,
like
it's,
it.
It's not vulgar by any means. It's hilarious.
So let me see it.
Okay, hold on. Well,
kid, by the way, welcome to the show, kid.
Thank you. And now I know you did a birthday party. Oh, boom.
There it is, kid. I just feel like you know, so if you had to be played on, you'd rather have Sanford Son than the Kid Rock song?
My name is Kid.
Yeah, I need some clarity on that.
Gibbs. His my caller ID when it goes up to him is a picture that he took as posing as a paparazzo.
As I was leaving from the Browns Radiothon, walking outside the glass,
when I was evicted from my own seat in my own studio to be on the air with the Silver Sledge. It's a picture of me in the Silver Sledge.
So Silver Sledge running point
in
the hot
in my
seat.
Studio.
Zagura
our
in my
studio.
Seat. In yeah. My seat. It could be yours. I don't care. In my seat. And who was that? Oh,
Emmett?
And Emmett sitting in the kid seat.
Unbelievable. That's what I get. That's where I'm at.
Good news. I'm kind of like our representative for the Radiothon this year.
You what?
I guess I'm taking a little more responsibility from the station end on the Radiothon.
Nice.
So I'll have a little more input as to the rundown.
Excellent.
I,
all right,
I
don't
feel like
don't
that
make
can
that.
Benefit us.
Can we not make that happen again?
It depends on your attitude over the next few.
And you know what? Who has had a lot of pull? Kevin Griffin had a lot of pull in constructing that as well. Yeah. So.
KG's a very
that.
Powerful man.
Yeah.
The man,
stay,
the myth,
stay out
the legend.
Of the way, my friend.
Where's KG?
Nothing
come
but
on
respect
down, KG.
For the man.
He's MIA. He must. Is he, oh, he's in San Francisco, I think.
Was he part of Jim Brown's birthday bash last night?
I don't believe so.
There
his
was some kind of bash in California last night.
Oh, was there?
Oh, yeah. Rocco Whalen was there. Had some very interesting stories.
Yeah, Rocco's representing Cleveland in the Taste of the City competition at the Super Bowl.
Yes. Wish him the best of luck. Love Rock.
All right. I just want to say this.
Ribs. Two words.
I want to say this right now, and then I don't want to really talk about it again. Just you get your takes. Obviously, the situation with Johnny Manziel, I would say, has taken a turn for the worse, and now it's obviously not, we know it's not a Browns story really anymore. It's more just kind of a human story, and I hope that he finds whatever it is that he's looking for and gets the help that he needs. I mean, his father tried to check him into rehab twice and he would not go. Apparently his dad saying now if he doesn't get his life in order, he's not going to make it to 24, and it's become a very sad and kind of scary story, and I just hope that he gets whatever help he needs. And I don't, if he doesn't want to play football, that's fine. If he does, great. Whatever he wants to do to find out a way to live a happy, healthy, safe, productive life.
Yeah, it's not a football story at this point. If your family is at that point And, you know, I think everybody in their life knows or has known of people that are addicts. But when your family's at the point where they're washing their hands and saying, listen, you either got to get help or you're done, you know it's at a very, very serious place. And
you're right about that, kid. And even more so, and I think if, you know, I don't necessarily know if we want to read it on the air, but the statement by his agent.
Yes, agents dropped.
His agent. I mean, an agent is an agent. And Nathan, you have an agent. I don't have an agent in the industry. I've had an agent professionally.
Sure.
Agents are snakes because they're all about the dollar bill, right?
And they're anything your they biggest can, advocate.
They're your biggest advocate. They sell you on everything. Oh, they, yes. You know, and they make all this money off of you, especially someone drafted in the first round. It's like, you know, you want to stroke that guy through that four-year contract because, A, he went in the first round. It's a good payday. And then ultimately, if they pan out, there's a big second contract for you. And for Johnny, with the marketing of Snickers and Muscle Farm and all these other things that he's gone through, that guy's making money. And for him to want to disassociate himself with Johnny Manziel
strong
is very strong.
Let me just say, Andy Sims, agent of the Stars, not a snake. Neither is Reed Bergman, my agent.
Yes. I also think that that was a very classy move, actually, by the agent. I think it was his way of trying to help Johnny Manziel by you know, saying, listen, you really got to, you know, just another thing like his father, just saying, listen, help is way more important than anything to do with football. And it's just a sad situation. And it's, you know, there's nothing else to say about it. You know, you could say we don't want him on the football team because of football, but it's just at this point, hopefully he gets his act together and hopefully he lives, because it is a life and death situation.
It was. And reading some of the notifications that I was receiving from Bleacher Report.
Yeah, nonstop
last evening. I was trying to just chill with the family. Wife went to a PTA meeting and it's just like, boom. And I'm like, I'm caught in this, you know, paragraph after paragraph of the reports that finally came out. And I got to a boiling point. I'm not gonna lie, because there's some situations where I always go, well, what would I do if I were, you know, in the lunchroom one day in 2016 and Johnny Manziel's right there? It's because I don't know, and maybe people will say something to him, but I'm not an advocate of hitting or roughhousing a woman by any means, to the point where if I saw him, like, this is last night now. You know, a lot can change, time can change, and I can simmer down. But I was just like, if I was in the lunchroom and I saw Johnny Manziel and I'm like, hey, dude, I'm a grown man. I was like, you want to punch me? You can punch a girl? Come punch me. You know, just because you got to question everything about him for him to feel like, if the dragging of the hair and the open-handed and the not letting her out of a hotel room. I mean,
the only thing I will say about that is
he wasn't charged.
If all that was true, how is he not charged?
I get it. Yeah. I get
that's what's weird about that part of the story, but it's all secondary. I mean, when the guy's father comes out and says what he said, I mean, that is I've not seen many things like that in my life where a father says the guy's not going to reach his next birthday. That's crazy.
And you know what? Albert Breer pointed out something that as I read, you know, article after article after article, or these comments that came from his parents. And I think the dad makes, and I don't have the quote right in front of me, but he makes reference to they need to take care of this or else he's not going to see that 24th birthday. Where's the we in this? Are you not a player in his life?
I mean
everyone else around him is running for the hills.
He's trying
his
to
managing
get him.
Team, his agent has run for the hills. The Browns essentially released a statement that if you read between the lines, he's no longer going to be employed. So he's going to have nobody but family, and he puts it on they. Who's they?
But he himself, his dad tried to get him into rehab twice, right?
I understand, but who's they?
I think that, like, at least from what I've limited experience with different people, and because I know some people that I know from a business perspective, and their families, you know, when things have happened, I've called their families, and their families have sort of been like, you know what, we've been through this too many times, and until they want to get – and I'm with you. I don't understand that, but it's almost like until Johnny decides he wants to get help, I'm with you. I couldn't imagine if it was my kid. I feel like I would just be with them 24 hours a day and not
you drop everything.
Let them have access to whatever they're on.
And I think, yeah, the dad becomes the friend that the friends or the surrounding people that I've, you know, been calling on to be the enforcers in his life. To, you know, the same way Dez had that chaperone, be the parent that doesn't leave Johnny's side. And you fight him. I'm willing to go to jail as a father of my son if he is an utter screw up doing what he's doing to his life at 23 years old, to his career as a professional, and dragging my name. You know, because yes, he has Manziel on his jersey, but when I sign checks, if I'm a businessman or if I'm a father, I carry that name too. So when you do that, you're doing it to me as well.
That's tough because, I mean, you can't force him to do anything he doesn't want to do as an adult. That's the hard part. The guy's an adult and he's got his own money.
I would drop everything if I were a father, and I would stalk my son to the point where he felt uncomfortable and had to call the cops on me. And the cops I would just tell him, I'm just being a dad. I haven't touched him. I'm not screaming at him. I'm just not letting him out of my sight.
Yeah, I think until it's you walk in those shoes, it's tough.
I mean, he's obviously making public statements that are pretty strong, and he tried to get him to rehab twice.
He's probably pulling his hair out behind closed doors. Yeah. It's a bad situation, you know. But
to go back on it, just simply because I've said this time and time again, and I made reference to it about Josh Gordon is. What pictures of Johnny Manziel do you see on every internet site, every social media site, when they reference everything that happened from the last 2 weeks or the last 2 years? A Cleveland Browns uniform.
Yep.
And you wonder why people, when you leave the state of Ohio, why the Cleveland Browns are a laughingstock because of guys like Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, I just hope he gets whatever help it is that he needs. And we don't need to get into calls on it. We don't need to get a lot of opinions on it. I think it's just one of those things that is what it is right now, and it's unfortunate.
I had some great comic relief I was going to come with. I'll have to save it for later.
Save it for the next segment. We'll bring us right back. All right, we'll take a break. The kids got some comic relief coming up next here on Cleveland Browns Daily. 216-578-0850. Zagura, Wilhelm, Kid, Gibbs.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, still to come on CBD today with Zagura, Wilhelm, Squid. We've got the Hall of Fame in or out game. We've got the Friday forecast game. We've got the prop bets game as well.
And a review of my birthday with the kid.
Yes, the kid. Yeah, the kid. Yeah, go ahead.
That's where I was going to start.
Right, start off.
I just want to say a shout out to my new buddy, the younger Wilhelm brother, Dr. Kurt, as I'm going to call him. And let everybody in on a little story from the beginning of the party. So we're at the party, and I'm being introduced by my biblical name. And so we're just talking, and then all of a sudden, Nate says me as the kid. And Kurt turns and goes, "That's the kid? I hate that bleep."
He's like, "You're such a bleep on the radio.
You're such a bleep on the radio." It was just classic. I mean, the guy is the truest. Like, he doesn't have like a bone in his body, at least from what I could see, that would be anything but true. And he was classic the entire night.
I'm not going to lie. When I heard you guys like relive it all as I walked over, I was just kind of like, is there a shell that I could climb? Because I did. Again, you want everybody to get along and lots of personalities, also big personalities from different walks of life, all in one room.
Yeah.
You got, you know, all the way from 50 to 26 in one room. You know what I mean? From different walks of life, you got East Siders, you got West Siders, you know. So
that was classic, though.
It was. Then you guys were like thick as thieves by the end of
it. I love the guy. I mean, I feel like I can now say that I have people that it's like a Howard Stern movie. You know, if people hate you, they're going to listen. So
this is right.
If Dr. Kurt's out there, hopefully, you know, I can entertain you a little
but
more.
But the great thing about it, though, it really, you become, you know, a person. You're a personality. I mean, it's everything that, you know, the reason why we have you on is the personality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you bring a different perspective. Yeah. The voice of the streets.
The voice.
Yes.
And
the funny thing is, I think if Kurt was sitting in my seat, he would be equally polarizing.
He would be equally as polarizing, but it would take a while to get him comfortable doing what you do so naturally.
Yeah, he was pretty comfortable in the Wilhelm basement.
He was. Yeah. Well, there's cards and money flying and chips everywhere. He's always comfortable.
By the way, the kid Gibbs is still not over the fact that on the very first hand of the game he had trips, aces, and
play poker ever again.
And then you come back and beat me with four fives.
It really was legendary.
It was. Two opening hands.
And then he's like, but the best part about it was not only did you pull, like, it was what? You had a flush followed by a four or five.
Yeah,
four of a kind.
The four of a kind was luck, but the flush, I'm telling you, I pulled it on the river on a feeling. I knew you guys had good hands.
That's what I'm saying is the best part. He's like, I had a feeling.
I just had a feeling. So, and I'm telling you, I've played enough cards in my day that sometimes you got to go with the feeling.
I had a feeling and went against it and ended up losing with the winning hand.
Well, while you were playing and you were perfecting your craft of to be a professional football player, I probably spent just as many hours in an apartment called The Dungeon in Ann Arbor playing cards.
But you have some suggestions, right? Next time, like, he was talking about dealer choice, like, and then we could, like,
switch
the game.
Well, that game, that particular game is not a game we ever played because it's very slow.
It is slow.
The games
are universally known.
It is universally known, and it's a great tournament game.
To rock the microphone.
But the games where the dealer choice is where the it just can get
Omaha,
way out of hand.
Yeah, high low,
guts,
stud.
You know,
guts,
I mean, the good thing about that game was it was $30.
Right.
The games I'm talking about could be $30.10.
Right.
The good news for
which
me
is not what we were looking for.
No, on a birthday.
I'm gonna start.
We're gonna have a monthly game.
Can you start a charitable corporation? Because if we're playing No Limit Hold'em, is that what it's called? No Limit Hold'em. I'm just donating money because I do not have the patience for it. Like, even if I had won a couple of those hands early, I would have gone all in again until I lost.
With a marginal hand.
Yeah, you know, like
on a draw.
Six high, no big deal.
But I will say the combination of people from, and I apologize to everyone there if I don't remember the names, the 26-year-old that
Mikey,
you grew up with, Mikey, spectacular personality, really enjoyed him, all the way to, you know, Dr. Kurt, and then the 50-year-old to my left
was Ryan, the neighbor.
Mr. Everybody
Ott.
Seemed to get along well. It was really good.
We did.
Solid
compliment to you, Wilhelm,
for
having such a – there really wasn't any jabronis there.
And rightfully so, I lead out with the fact that I made it very evident on the show that I don't like people. So once you crack that barrier – once you crack the barrier, I'm not going to surround myself with a bunch of yahoos. You know what I mean?
You're my favorite misanthrope, though. That's for sure. You and the kid both. The kid doesn't like too many people either.
Yeah, but I think I'm a little more social.
I'm not a socialist kid, but for me it's because of what I've done. If you bring the wrong person down there in the basement, not only the wrong personality, but like if they're enamored with all the stuff on the wall and it gets weird.
Yeah.
Then it's like 3 hours on my birthday with weirdness guy, you know?
Yeah, if he like takes his pants down.
Yeah, and, it's like comes by recommendation of like, oh, my, so-and-so's husband's a cool guy. Invite him to your birthday. And he's like the first guy to respond to the text.
He's like sniffing
and he
your
shows
game
up at 6:45. Yeah. Is this real dirt? Are these the pants that you wear? Did you wash them?
It was pretty cool, though, I will say. Like, I'm not memorabilia guy, but that house is spectacular. Vanessa's done a spectacular job in setting it up. And that basement is, as far as I'm concerned, the number one guy's, you know, basement in the world.
Thank you.
In the world.
There's still wall space.
That I've seen.
Yeah, I know what's going to go on the wall next. It's going to be a gift from me.
A Speaker City t-shirt.
Yes. That'll be a gift.
It may be maize and it may be blue.
Chucky Wood?
Tom
Brady?
If I knew a Chucky Wood would sit on the wall, I would get a Chucky Wood.
Chucky Wood's your best bet because they
won a
Super Bowl together.
I would put a Chucky Wood's Packer jersey on the wall.
Okay. Let me see where I can find one of those.
I bet he could just call Chucky Wood. Say, yo, Charles,
I wouldn't mind even putting a Chucky Wood Raiders jersey because he played a majority of his career as a Raider.
Yeah. Do you think he goes in the Hall of Fame as a Raider or a Packer?
Raider.
Interesting. I've heard him ask the question. He said he wanted to do half and half, which obviously is impossible.
Right. You get the helmet like Wilhelm.
Yeah.
And let's say that's a good segue into the Hall of Fame here. Terrell Owens.
Hall of Famer.
His numbers, if he doesn't get in, it's stupid. And I heard did you guys hear the quote? Maybe Gibbs can pull it up and play it to the audience. He was on a show the other day, and he basically said, you know, if I'm not in the Hall of Fame, it's ridiculous. And he's like, you know, if you want to talk about off-the-field stuff, and then he throws Marvin Harrison under the bus and everybody thinks he's a good guy, and somebody died because of his gun, which is true, but it's like, you know, it was just funny the way he brought it out. But his numbers, if he doesn't get in the Hall of Fame is as big a joke as the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Bottom line, second most receiving yards in NFL history, third most touchdown receptions in NFL history.
He had 153 receiving touchdowns.
Yep.
That's great. Let's say that again. 153.
The kid. Why do you think I put him in my top five drafting receivers?
But if he doesn't get in the Hall of Fame tomorrow, I'm going to be livid.
Well, I hope he gets in. I don't want it to ruin.
We don't
want to
ruin your Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl.
We're not going to spoil that segment, your Hall of Fame segment, Gibbs. But I think I know why the kid's voting for T.O. All right, let's go to Richard in Canton. He's got a Super Bowl trivia question for us. I don't know how it's going to go. All right, Richard, what's up?
Hey guys, you guys are all pretty smart. So here's your ultimate Super Bowl trivia question.
Okay. If we miss does that mean that we aren't smart?
No, you're still smart.
Okay, good.
Just may have to add another word to the end of it. But there are four colleges in the United States that have graduated both a Super Bowl winning quarterback and a United States president.
Well, one of them is University of Michigan.
That's the easiest one with
Gerald Ford and Tom Brady.
Okay, three more.
Wow.
Well, I got the only one that matters.
You got the only one that matters.
We got the low-hanging fruit.
I'm going to guess. This is not knowledge, but I'm going to guess. Stanford?
Correct.
They have a Super Bowl.
John Elway.
Who's the president?
Jim Plunkett.
Who's the president?
Yeah, Stanford had two quarterbacks with Elway and Plunkett.
Who was the president from Stanford?
Herbert Hoover.
Okay.
Okay. All right. That's two.
So that's two.
Completely off the top of my head, UCLA?
No.
Can you give us a region for the college?
One of them is in the east. The other one, the hardest one, is in the state of Ohio.
And Miami of Ohio.
It's not Ohio State.
Miami of Ohio.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger.
And way back in 1852, Benjamin Harrison, one of Ohio's presidents.
Okay, now the east
I only knew Benjamin Harrison because that's where Sigma Chi fraternity was started at, Miami of Ohio.
Yep. And I knew a lot of fraternities and sororities were started there.
Yep. Phi Delta. So in the east.
Did Penn State ever have a quarterback?
And I'll give you another hint so we don't have a lot of dead air time.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we've got the hardest one.
If you can get the fourth one, I will salute you for it.
All right, give me a little clue here.
That was a clue, I think.
That was a clue.
Salute me for it. Oh, Navy.
Yes.
Yeah, kid.
All right. There
we go.
Who's the quarterback?
Roger Staubach.
Who's the president?
This should be easy, and I don't know. I'm not a presidential scholar.
I'm not a presidential scholar either.
Jimmy Carter. He majored in nuclear engineering and spent his Navy career on a nuclear submarine.
Wow. Peanut, not bad for a
and
peanut.
And he's still going at
Georgia.
93.
Still going, working on Habitat for Humanity, even with cancer.
Good for Jimmy Carter.
That's why I went to Emory.
Because of Jimmy
there
Carter.
There you go.
Because of the Carter Center. Uh-huh. Politics, international
relations. So there's your four schools.
All right,
that's a great trivia question. If you come
I'll
up with another one,
that.
Call back as Wilhelm starts to guzzle some muscle milk.
So
there.
Navy.
Is that taking a
Stanford,
shot at Wilhelm?
Michigan. No,
he's really
all.
Drinking
and
some
Miami
muscle milk.
Of Ohio. That's pretty good. You got Michigan right away. I got Stanford right away.
Yeah.
And then he had to give us a couple hints, but I'm proud.
It's good.
And I'm proud to be an American. 216-578-0850, Mark in Myrtle Beach. Welcome to the show.
What do you got, Mark?
How are you guys doing today?
That was a good trivia question.
That was a great trivia question. I'm sitting here racking my brain, and my ears are still smoking from it. I got a comment and a challenge for you guys. I heard Matt mention that if he was Johnny Manziel's father, he'd chase him and follow him all over the place no matter what. My son went to rehab 5 times, guys.
Wow.
Went through it. And most times that he went, it was just because he needed a place to stay. He got 3 hots and a cot, so to speak. There was women there, you know, and it was more of an excuse to get away. Yeah, Dad, see, I'm going. And it wasn't until I personally stopped following him around, stopped enabling him by that I could cheer him with my love, so to speak. That I put my boot on his butt, kicked him out the door. He literally lived down the street. That he finally came, said, Dad, I found a place. Can you drive me to rehab? and I took him out there, and that was 4 years ago. He's living in Minnesota, and he's just doing great.
That's a great story. And it must have been difficult. Oh, I was going to follow up and do a little riveting interviewing there, Gibbs, but that's okay.
You know, and my whole point in regards to following him around, it's more so following him around until you essentially get him to rehab, and then you leave him in the experts' hands.
And by the way, the "they" in Johnny Manziel's dad's quote, what a bunch of people have said on Twitter, was he was referring to the rehab facility.
Okay. So, but my whole point is, to me, he's been in the news way too often for not good things. And if I personally, as his father, being by his side, stalking him, chasing him, doing whatever I have to do to intervene so that something destructive doesn't happen again prior to getting him to rehab is what I was talking about.
Yeah.
But understanding that me as his father, I'm probably one of the last voices he wants to hear helpful things coming from, because he almost feels like his father and his state of mind that is against him too.
Yep.
When ultimately all we want is what's the best for him.
That's why it's a tough situation. That's why it's such a tough disease to beat. Let's go to Dan in Pennsylvania. Dan.
Hey, guys. First off, I got a song for you to start the show.
Okay.
This is from my childhood. It's a Jimi Hendrix tune called Crosstown Traffic.
I do like Jimmy.
It's got a great intro to it, and it's bad. I think you'd like it. So
okay.
You can cut it up. And I just want to talk about the draft. I mean, when this whole thing started, you know, being a Cleveland fan, immediately I thought, oh, this is the one year where we can pick a quarterback and there's nobody worthy of being really picked at the top. It really kind of looked that way to me at first. But I disagree with that now. I think we've got to take a guy at two. But the thing I'd like to suggest and see what you guys think is, then I'd like to see us move up from 32 into the 20s somewhere and get somebody like Noah Spence or Rankins out of Louisville, some guy with a quick first step for the defense side. But then the other thing is, with our next pick, I think we should pull a Washington and take another quarterback.
I think that's certainly possible.
And I'm just curious, if Cardale Jones is sitting there, or uh-huh. Zach Prescott or Bissette out of the North guys Carolina I saw State. At the Senior Bowl. So. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about getting – I agree with you getting two quarterbacks. I'd like to get one veteran, whether it be a Cap, an RG3, somebody like that, to compete with a rookie.
Well, yeah, but we got Josh McCown. My goodness, I love that guy.
I do love
He's
Josh.
Fantastic. I like Josh McCown to be the quarterback coach.
Oh, okay. I think he can still play. Year.
We've
I
got
mean,
three
goodness.
Offensive minds. We got Hugh, Al Saunders, Kirby Wilson
and Pep Hamilton
all constructing that game plan.
Yeah. Get another guy.
A lot of Indians. Who's the chief?
Rob Hugh World Order. Rob in New Brunswick. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. I worked in detox for 9 years, so I know all about what Johnny's going through. Anyway, I don't really want to talk about that, and I don't even want to talk about Superman versus the Super Bowl this weekend. What I do want to do is follow up on the draft picks, same thing that you guys were just talking
sure.
about. I like number two, but I want to give a kind of reality check, and I actually got two reality checks. The first one is something I don't think anybody's really talked about yet, is I like our draft pick at number two, and I'm really right on board with the Jared Goff, and
good.
I really think that he is the quarterback that we need to pick. The
Me
problem
too.
I have with that is, the fellow just before me mentioned the Washington Redskins, and I think that there's realistic chance, a 25% chance, that somebody's going to come up in the draft in draft number one and take Jared Goff away from us. And if that's the case, then I think that backdoors us into Joey Bosa, because I don't think any other quarterback is worthy at number two. I do like further on down the draft, I like the Johnson fall out of Bowling Green.
Uh-huh.
And I also like Hattenberg out of Penn State.
I think he goes to Houston. I just think Bill O'Brien's going to take him.
Now, the other reality check is, but before I go, and I'll make this really brief, I really like your Macho Man. I think that you do an excellent job on that, and I don't mean any disrespect. I want to give you a brief wrestling one myself. It goes like this. No disrespect. When my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut.
That's the Miz.
And also, I want to give you another reality check because I know you guys are from Ohio and all that stuff, and I want you and everybody in Ohio to take notice. And nobody seems to want to talk about it, and you guys haven't talked anything about the Cleveland Cavaliers in the last day or two, and there's a good reason why you don't, because you guys don't realize the reality and you don't want to talk about it. But there's a team up north called the Toronto Raptors that nobody in America wants to talk about, and when the dust settles this spring, they will be the East Division.
Okay, so what do you want to wager on that? Any amount of money, anything you want. They haven't won a playoff series. They're the Cincinnati Bengals.
They're
the Cincinnati Bengals in the NBA.
How about he'll send us a bottle of some fine Canadian whiskey?
Yes, I'll take some Canadian whiskey and I'll send you some of Cleveland's finest.
Listen, I don't care if you bring Cardale Jones and Braxton Miller off the bench to help you guys. When the dust settles, the better offensive team and the better defensive team is the Toronto Raptors, and you can take that to the bank.
So we both. So if the Cavs win, you'll send us here. You send 76 Lou Groza Boulevard, care of Cleveland Browns Daily, a bottle of fine Canadian whiskey. And if that goes the other way, you tell us what you want.
Well, Canadian Club whiskey.
Okay. All right. Robin New Brunswick. Gibbs, make a note of this.
Making a note.
Is he buddies?
And I will deliver.
Are you
buddies?
Do you know Cam from Canada? Yeah. Do you know Cam from Canada?
No. No. I think the Raptors have a better team all the way around, and LeBron James is on the decline. I'm sure nobody in Ohio wants to hear those facts, but when the dust settles,
who won when they came here? I was at that game. I don't even remember who won.
You know what? I was looking forward to playing them in the playoffs last year, and didn't they lose to New Jersey or something like that?
They did not get to playoffs.
They lost. They lost to a garbage squad.
That's correct. You are new. We're gonna have some Canadian whiskey.
I'll take it.
It's gonna be nice. I'm not afraid either. All right. When we come back, Gibbs sits us down for the debut edition of Hall of Fame: In or Out.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Zagura, Wilhelm, the Kid Squid, and of course Gibbs. Gibbs, get on in here. Hall of Fame in or out?
Hall of Fame in
or out? This is the simplest game you've ever created. I give you a name. You tell me in or out for the Hall of Fame this year.
Not even you guys can screw this up.
This is much better than higher or lower.
I don't know about that.
I think it's going to be. I think
you know, I always prefer higher.
Wow.
Yes. Hold on. Oh. By the way, hold on. Before we do this, real quick, did you hear Donovan talk about Howard Stern?
Did you miss it?
Oh, you missed it. And he does literally the best Marv Albert impression I've ever heard. I couldn't believe it was Donovan. That's what he would do for Howard.
On Saturday nights. Or was it Friday night? Friday night or Saturday night, one of the two.
Yeah, unbelievable. On the Schmaltz Bagel Hour.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Amazing. All right.
In or out, guys. We'll start with the senior nominees and work our way up to the other ones that we'll debate, obviously. Kenny Stabler, in or out this year in terms of the Hall of Fame?
Out.
Out.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to say out.
Two-time NFL MVP, won a Super Bowl, guided his teams to five consecutive AFC title games.
All right, that's a little more impressive than I thought. Let me hear the other ones because there is a limit.
So, yes.
Two-time NFL MVP, led the Raiders to the victory over the Vikings in Super Bowl 11, guided his teams to five consecutive AFC title games. That's pretty good.
Jim Kelly's
in the Hall of Fame, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He went to four straight.
Four straight Super Bowls,
1-0. And I don't believe he was ever an NFL MVP?
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
No. Stabler, in.
All right.
Jim Kelly better than Stabler, sorry.
Dick Stanfell.
Don't care.
Earned All-Pro honors in five of his NFL seasons.
No offense to the Stanfell family.
Named to the NFL's All-Decade Team of the 50s.
Sure.
After anchoring the O-line of a dominant Lions.
No, he might take up Terrell Owens' spot. I'm out.
He only got in. He was only in the league for like 6 years.
So I think we're all in agreement. We would take Stabler over Stanfield.
Yes.
Oh, those are the veteran committee.
Yes,
you guys?
Yeah, the senior nominees.
Yeah. All right. Then I'll take Stabler.
Contributor nominee. There's only one, But does he get in? Does he not get in?
Of course he does.
Edward DeBartolo Jr.
Absolutely the greatest owner in history of the NFL, in my opinion.
You know who's like championing his cause out in California this weekend? It's not anybody with the 49ers. Tony Grossi is championing the cause.
Good for
Tony. Isn't he a Youngstown guy?
Yes, he is a Youngstown guy.
Yeah.
Ken Carman has some great stories about Mr. D.
Yeah. I think they might have had a little grease on their fingers, but
that's all right. It's a minor detail.
Was that Ken that was telling us that story about like Mr. D washes or something?
Yeah.
And
bags of cash, probably.
Mr. D.
Mr. D.
Absolutely.
He's in.
Favorite from my childhood.
Gentlemen, we move on to the modern era nominees.
How many of these guys can get in?
So, if we have Stabler and DeBartolo, you've got to pick five of these people.
All right.
Okay.
Five.
Okay.
Morton Anderson.
No.
Kicker. Out. Absolutely in.
No. Stop.
Absolutely in.
He did miss a field goal on purpose to get somebody to get the Jacksonville Jaguars into the playoffs once.
The all-time leading scorer in NFL history.
He's an accumulator.
Seven-time Pro Bowl selection.
Hold on, listen to this last one. This gets him in the Hall of Fame for me. Go ahead.
A member of the 80s and 90s all-decade teams.
The 80s all-decade team and the 90s all-decade team as a specialist in the same position two decades.
You know,
in
my opinion, for a kicker to get in, I want a kicker like Vinatieri that hit money kick after money kick. What money? Give me one money kick that Morton Anderson made.
I'm just telling you guys, I'm a member of the all 80s and 90s all-decade team. That means he was the best kicker in the league for 20 years.
I've never been known to argue with facts. I don't care.
Stugatz. He's in. In.
Well, how many people are voting him in our group here?
I think
one.
What do you think, Gibbs?
That's a no.
He's on my fence. Let's see who else we got coming over.
All right.
Next one up is Steve Atwater.
Nah.
Out.
No.
Hard-hitting safety, 8 Pro Bowls over his 11-year career, started at safety in 4 AFC title games and 3 Super Bowls. Getting a ring as part of Denver's Super Bowl 32.
Safety's a tough position to get in, and you have to be, like, by far and away.
Not transcendent.
Amazing.
Yeah, not
so he's going to have to wait. Again.
He goes to no. All right. Next up, Don Corleal. Named NFL Coach of the Year in 1974, AFC Coach of the Year in 79. His 31-11 record from 74 to 76 marked the most successful 3-year stretch in St. Louis Cardinals history.
No way. And until you get me Jimmy Johnson in the Hall of Fame, you're going to throw Don Corleal at me? No thanks.
I actually agree with Kid on that.
I agree too. Yep. Air Corleal, great. Fine.
Next up, moving along, Terrell Davis, Denver running back. In 1998, Davis became the fourth runner in NFL history to rush for 2,000 yards in a season. Led the NFL with 21 rushing touchdowns. Davis is part of the NFL's all-decade team of the 90s.
And when you say he won the Super Bowl, he won the Super Bowl. I mean, he was the best player on the Super Bowl team. I'm going to say yes. On the fence, like depending on how many other guys we have out of the group, but he goes to the fence for me, but probably yes.
There's some other great names that are like
absolutely
all in.
Do you care about the sixth? In fact, so he's joining 6 years.
No, because to me, a Hall of Famer is how good were you
at your peak?
At your peak, and at his peak, he was as good as anybody.
All right, so he's on the fence with Morton Anderson.
Yeah, they're both on the fence.
All right,
agreed. And then we'll have to whittle it down.
Next up, Tony Dungy.
No.
Coached the Buccaneers and Colts. Good.
Next.
Wow.
The same Jimmy Johnson argument I used before, I'll use again.
Fair enough. Moving on. Alan Faneca. 13 seasons, missed just one game, elected to 9 consecutive Pro Bowls.
He's the Will Shields.
He was named to the NFL's All-Decade Team of the 2000s.
Fence him for now.
Fence.
Okay. Brett Favre.
In.
Automatic in. Unanimous.
As Tony Grossi said this morning, if that conversation takes more than 10 minutes tomorrow, it will be a joke.
10 minutes. 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
10 in. Seconds. Sorry. I think it was 10 seconds.
All right. So we have Favre in, and we've got three fencers. Okay.
Yep. Kevin Green. This one has been garnering a little momentum
second
here.
Second career all-time in sacks, correct?
Third. On the NFL's all-time sack list. 5-time Pro Bowl pick and a member of the 90s all-decade.
We have to remember, though, they haven't been keeping sacks for forever. Like, they don't have Deacon Jones' sack.
Put him on the fence.
He played 85 to 99.
Fence.
Fence.
OK. Okay, the all-fence team currently.
Well, we got one in for sure.
Selling you some wooden fences. Next up, Marvin Harrison.
No.
8-time Pro Bowl pick, member of the 2000s All-Decade team.
No. I don't even think he was the best receiver on his team. I thought Reggie Wayne was better.
All right, Marvin. Take care. Next up, Joe Jacoby.
No.
Nope.
Key member of the famed Hogs.
He would be in already if he was there.
Led the Redskins to 3 Super Bowl victories.
Never heard of him.
3-time All-Pro selection.
Nope.
Okay. Fine. Fair enough. How about Edgerrin James?
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Led the NFL in rushing in his first 2 seasons.
No.
4 Pro Bowls.
It's ridiculous that he's even
member of the NFL's All-Decade team of the 2000s and won a Super Bowl.
Ridiculous.
He made the finalist list?
Yes.
No for him.
Nope.
Next up, Jonathan Lynch.
No. Maybe in the future, not this year.
15 seasons helped the Buccaneers win a Super Bowl, 9-time Pro Bowl selection.
No.
How did these guys make the finalists?
Insulted.
All right, hold on. I think we're about to get – now we're going to get heavy.
You're going to get into some dialogue.
Yep.
Next up, Terrell
Owens. In.
Out.
I like
just because you guys say that he's in.
All right, so he's got to go to the fence.
He's on the fence.
No, he's not. No, he's in.
He's in. He's in.
It's majority rules.
He's in.
He's in.
Okay.
He's
in. Second most receiving yards in NFL history.
Yeah, I think
most touchdowns.
So what? He's a hole. You know what I mean?
He probably enjoyed the finer things in life.
Never won a Super Bowl. Think that keeps him out from the other voters tomorrow?
No. I mean, Super Bowl, NFL, 22 players plus special teams.
I think that's possible.
I mean,
I don't know if he's.
Are you
going to
hold
ballot.
Randy Moss out too? You're going to tell me now Randy Moss isn't a first ballot?
Are you
going
to say Randy Moss that Terrell Owens was better than Randy Moss?
What about
Dan
Marino?
No, but
he's close.
It's not close.
Well, I'm a huge Randy Moss fan, so don't get me to arguing against him. But the statistic
glitter and gloss catching a beat like my name was Randy Moss.
Statistically, yeah.
Randy.
He's close.
Yes, in.
Randy Moss
in.
Is in. So how many do we got in so far? So
we've got Favre and T.O. are in.
Okay, that's a hell of a speech. Night at
yep.
Canton Hall.
I might go
night.
For T.O.'s speech.
All right.
We could probably.
We got
the hook over that
here.
Way. We could go.
We'll go to Ken Stewart's on the way. Maybe that'll be my dinner. Oh, that'd be
next
classic.
Up. Oh, God. You and your dinner.
Gibbs, you know, I'm as the loser, I don't know if Wilhelm will agree to this, but I'm going to invite you to come along for the evening. And if Wilhelm's not willing, I'm willing to foot the bill for you to join us.
Kid, I appreciate that.
I think we should
I'm
just have Gibbs
like
come
food.
And then, like, not pay his bill and force
Dash.
Him to pay him himself.
As the winner, I want to see how Gibbs behaves the next couple of weeks.
Or we can invite Gibbs and we can play credit card roulette. 3-man.
That always ends badly for me.
I'm just
even
inviting Gibbs. You know, Gibbs has welcomed me into his radio family, so I'm going to welcome him into our dinner family.
The kid's a fine man.
I
think
that.
Gibbs should – Gibbs, this is – okay, Gibbs is in, and Gibbs, through your connections at ESPN Cleveland, secure us a vehicle.
I could do that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now we're talking, Gibbs.
Now we're cooking with
that
gas.
I can come to the table with.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes.
All right.
I would like our limo driver to be named Jeeves.
So my brother just goes, I'm in for dinner.
Fantastic.
Dr. Kurt wants Ken Stewart's with the kid.
Dr. Kurt is in as well.
Isn't Ken Stewart's closed on the East Bank?
We're going to
no,
Akron,
no, no, we're going
bro.
To Akron. We're going to the real Ken Stewart's.
Yeah. Wow. We need a limo, and then we're going to the Hall of Fame.
Ken Stewart.
If you're out there listening, Ken Stewart's daughter, because she did used to listen to the show.
She did, yes.
Give
really?
Us a call.
The best place
yes.
in the world. You know what we want with the check. Thank you very
yes.
much.
My goodness.
Let me just say this. I've requested something at many restaurants, and they're the only restaurant that's ever gotten it for me.
It's true.
All right. Next up, Orlando Pace.
In.
Fair enough. 7-time Pro Bowl selection, 5-time All-Pro, anchored the offensive line that threw for the most yards in NFL history.
And a Super Bowl champion.
Yep.
All right. Final candidate before we go back to the fencers, Kurt Warner.
In.
2-time NFL MVP, Super Bowl MVP, highest passer rating and led the NFL in TD passes twice, the only QB to throw for 300 yards or more in 3 Super Bowls.
Super Bowl champion?
Yep.
And almost won
and
MVP. 2 Super Bowls with 2 different teams.
Almost in. Won 3 Super
almost
Bowls.
Almost won 3.
True.
One field goal
I would
and
say
one last
he's
second touchdown.
In. Based on my how good were you at your peak theory.
And
in.
I think how good is he and how accredited is he compared to the guys that we have sitting on the fence.
Yeah. Okay, so right. How many do we have in right
so
now?
So we're at 4 right. in. So we have to pick one out of.
All right, read us all the fence guys.
You've got Favre in, Orlando Pace is in. Kurt Warner's in. Terrell Owens is in.
Yep. I agree with that.
You're on the fencers. Morton Anderson.
Out.
Terrell Davis. Alan Faneca.
Out.
And Kevin Green.
I think I would
that
go.
That is an interesting discussion.
I would go Terrell Davis, but I think Alan Faneca is the one that's going to get in.
I'm going to go Kevin Green because third all-time in sacks.
I want to go Kevin Green, but I'm going to go Alan Faneca because I think he, as I mentioned, he's as credited as Will Shields, who's in the Hall of Fame as well.
See, I'm going Kevin Green. So we can eliminate Morton Anderson.
Kevin Green will definitely have the better bust.
You know that this is a true story. I don't know if anybody knows this or not, but Mo Pedman, the Mo in Mo Pedman, because we know he's Scandinavian in descent, was an homage to Morton Anderson.
Is Mo Pedman out there right now?
I don't know where he is.
Is he listening? Mo Pedman, if you're listening, call in.
I bet he's eating.
I guarantee he's eating. He's doing his magic trick. He makes pizzas disappear.
All right, so we're down to two guys. But
that was
guys
a fun fact,
know,
right?
I now cook pizzas. It's part of my menu.
When do I get the invite?
When I perfect it. I've only done it once.
All right, and then we need a break because then we got prop bets coming up at 2 o'clock.
Oh.
The games continue.
Ooh, yes.
All
right, so we're
two
going
guys,
Kevin Green.
Two guys, one spot. Kevin Alan Faneca or Kevin Green?
Kevin Green.
Green.
Green. Green.
And he wrestled in WCW. And he was
that
a guy that
way at his peak. Doesn't factor into the Hall of Fame.
No, it doesn't factor in at all. But in my opinion, he was a guy that changed the game. When he was at his peak, offenses had to game plan for him.
All right, so I'll keep track of all these.
I do think Terrell Davis and Morton Anderson should get in at some point.
Greg Lloyd,
yes,
Kevin Green.
But
that was sick. Yeah, sick.
So right now we've got Kenny Stabler, Edward DeBartolo Jr.
Okay.
Brett Favre.
Yep.
Kevin Green.
Like it.
Kurt Warner.
Uh-huh.
Terrell Owens.
Uh-huh.
Orlando Pace.
Pretty solid group.
Now, let me ask you a question. If we booted out Ken Stabler, could you bring in another?
No, I think you have to go with the senior only five of the
modern. Right.
And I'm telling you right now, I'm ready to be fit to be tied because I think that they're going to play this junk that they play and not put in Terrell Owens the first time.
That receivers don't go in on first ballot.
Yeah, it's so stupid. These voters are almost as bad as the baseball voters. I'm looking for your guy Tony Grossi to represent for Terrell Owens, Gibbs.
I don't know. I don't know if they.
I don't think Tony Grossi is the kind of guy who's going to represent for Terrell Owens. I don't see him enjoying
the Terrell Owens
catalog.
I don't know because he doesn't have very many negative things to say about him when he talks about him.
Okay.
But he might be that old school thinking.
I could see him really getting excited about Faneca and Joe Jacoby.
Ugh.
I don't know. His big thing is DeBartolo Jr. getting in.
Absolutely. That's a must. He's a genius. I mean, Morton Anderson deserves to get in at some point. I wonder if he ever will.
He will.
He should. If you're the best kicker in the league for 20 years.
Yeah, you're it. He'll get in. He'll get his time.
How are you not a Hall of Famer?
In my opinion, the next Hall of Fame kicker is Adam Vinatieri.
Now that you
that
know,
did
though,
win
that
some Super Bowls.
Now that you know that the Mo in Mo Pedman is an homage to Morton Anderson.
I've never met Mo Pedman. As far as I'm concerned, Mo Pedman doesn't even exist. I've never met him. I've
Boy,
never heard
he
of him.
How dare you? He exists. He's
I've
real.
Heard all this about him. I'd like to meet
his
Mo
tires
Pedman.
Are flat. Say, I've tires, seen him with my own two eyes.
Tires around the world.
He doesn't pedal anywhere.
Mo Pedman.
He does not pedal anywhere.
No. Come on, Mo Pedman. Call in.
You can NASCAR up his jacket, and you could get quite a few things on it because he's not a small man.
No. He would have, once they go to the, you know, where they people start sponsoring everything, Mo Pedman literally will be a great walking billboard.
When we come back on Cleveland Browns Daily, Super Bowl props, don't go anywhere.